Let's begin, though, with Lieutenant Governor Brian Cowie, who today said that he is spearheading a drive to create a part-time legislature. It's, the name of the effort is, well, I don't have it in front. Oh, it's the Clean Michigan Committee is behind the effort. A man, though, that's been pursuing this for many years now is Norm Kamerad. He's the chairman of the Committee to Restore Michigan's Part-Time Legislature. Norm, great to have you on WILS.
Hey, it's great to be with you and your listeners again.
You said you knew this was coming. How's that?
Well, believe it or not, I actually am some fairly good acquaintance with Lieutenant Governor Cowie, and he has had a passion for this for quite some time, as he and former State House Representative Dave Agema introduced several bills which were just defeated time after time after time again in the past. I mean, he has wanted to see something like this, you know, come to pass in lieu of the large special interest groups that control much of our state's capital today.
Now, what would change in terms of their power? If there's a part-time legislature, what would make these special interests less powerful?
Well, it's simple. The reason why these people like these jobs is because they work for 90 days, or really, in effect, they only work for 82 in the last session, for a cost to the taxpayer of $70,000 per representative or senator. I mean, between me and you, that's not lawn mowing cash. They're getting quite a bit of money for that.
Okay. And now the idea is what? He's supporting what plan in terms of their salaries?
Right now, it's actually going to be prorated in conjunction with teacher salaries. So basically, teachers go to work every year, 180 days or so, and they take home a total cash payment for their services for $60,000 to $70,000. In reality, and when you prorate the time spent, which is the way his proposal reads, it'll actually drop considerably down because of the time spent to about $30,000 a year, which I think is absolutely outstanding.
Okay. But what does that do in terms of, I mean, the special interests are still going to be here. Well, why do you think they'll have less of an effect on the legislature?
Because it will actually become more of a township board, as it was designed to be from the beginning, when the first state's constitution was drafted, or prior to George Romney.
Okay.
The biggest thing right now that we have are people, they fight to retain those seats because of the salary and the time spent alone. Now you're going to actually turn that around to a lower salary input, to a more dedicated public service mindset.
Are we going to end up with lower, well, quality people in the positions, though?
Probably not. The only ones that are going to actually be able to afford to be there are those that have been successful and those that want to actually do make a change in the state's government.
And you're saying what we have now are not those kind of people in the legislature?
Well, if you measure the latest sex scandals that have taken place as having adequate people there, that would be what you're getting now. I would say it can only get better from here. With a lot of the corruption that has taken place over these past years, we've had so much money squandered inside the legislature that we have yet today to even pay for the Mackinac Bridge.
Norm Kamerad with us, by the way. I'm curious, though, when you see the actual agenda the Republicans have been pursuing over the last, well, many years now that they've been in control, what about the agenda? What do you point to say, hey, that's special interest, this is not in the best, it's not for the best of the people of Michigan?
Well, a case in point, the latest Lus MUSFA, or what's called Michigan Underground Storage Tank Fund Assurance Program, I actually was instrumental in actually taking that out. I even helped assist in drafting the bill. That was soaking the taxpayers for $47 million for a program that was actually defunct under EPA in 1998.
What was it again? Underground what?
The underground store, the Michigan Petroleum Bond Fund. They were actually using it. They were actually implementing it under what was called the Qualified Consultants List, and the Qualified Consultants List was being established through a PAC group out of Denver, Colorado. That was a primary example. The only way you could get in it is if you actually joined that PAC group, and then you then implemented your application to the, at that time it was the MDEQ. underground tank condition.
You said it was a qualified consultant. How did it cost the taxpayers $47 million?
That is actually the money that the taxpayers paid, coincidentally, every time they filled up their car with gas. It was at 3/8 of a cent a gallon over a period of time. And it was actually increased because it bankrupted several times because of the abuse that took place in the fund.
Do you think that's happening with things like road funding, things, bigger issues like that? Or are we seeing that kind of corruption?
I think we're seeing corruption, believe it or not, the latest bill that's coming up now, and you're hearing a lot about it, is this issue with governmental contractors and stuff for highway contractors. You have to have what's called the wage bill that's going through. It doesn't come to mind immediately, but I know that's on the floor right now being argued. Where you have to actually have so many union people inside your group in order to be able to be qualified to work for the state under MDOT. That now is also being pushed through special interests. There's a lot of special interests that are inundating that capital daily.
What happens, Norm? So this is something that would be on the ballot for voters to vote on?
Yeah, the whole concept of this is to bring it to the voters for a vote. The voters want this. When a poll was taken here back in, I believe it was in 2005, there was over a 75% public wish to actually bring this to a vote. And yet, when we've tried to push this thing through, we've either had House Republicans and Democrats that were trying to defeat it, either through Dick Chrysler or myself, and honestly, to see this kind of an attempt, especially made from a lieutenant governor. Now, granted, folks could argue he's trying to gain political traction. Right. You can argue a lot of things, but when you look at the proposal, it's admirable. It's extremely admirable.
And I should note, Democrats support the idea, but this is how they put it. Democratic Party Chair Brandon Dillon put out a statement today saying that, quote, from the state legislature to the governor's office, the people of Michigan deserve real leadership and a clean start, free of the dirty money and dirty politics that have polluted state government since Republicans like Brian Kelly took it over. Is this a partisan issue?
Well, my advice to him would be to put his salary money on his signature on a petition, and then let's put it to a vote and see if the people won't make that decision. It's not a Democratic or Republican issue. This is an actual issue that the voters need to take back control of their government, whether they're Republican or Democrat. There's good Democrats and Republicans out there. But honestly, when you're being influenced consistently on a daily basis by special interests, either through lobbyists, business lobbyists, chambers, stuff like that, I mean, when you're sitting here having your representative say, hey, why don't you start a licensure scheme so I can put my competition out of business, that's not promoting the state's economy. It's detracting from it.
What does that do to Lansing as a city, as an economic area? If we go to this part-time legislature, do you think the city of Lansing will take a hit also?
Well, one could argue that because we've lived now under this full-time legislature since George Romney in 1962-63. There could be a shift in economic progress, but I would argue to, as far as economic money flowing into Lansing versus out, but I would argue that when it was actually the other way, where it was flowing out through the part-time legislature, we were building highways like I-96 and Gerald Ford 96 over here and even I-94. We are now in a state that is still seeing a population deficit occurring on an annual basis in the Detroit region in the 30,000 range now. This is the most recent numbers we've got from the census. And this is not because of a lack of education. It's because of a lack of jobs, a lack of opportunity, a lack of employment, all of which is just being absconded by a legislature that is just absolutely inundated with special interests.
So do you imagine if this goes through, most of the current legislators won't be interested in running for another term?
Understand this. One of the things, and I've actually spoke with Lieutenant Governor Kelly on this, is that the term limits are not going to be part of this. The term limits are going to still continue. Okay. It's actually taking on too much when you take on several agendas in one petition. It's better to just stick with one thing, and we keep it simple so that the voters can understand what we're actually changing.
You support term limits, though, right?
Well, I support term limits in the current status of government that we have.
Okay.
In a part-time legislature, you have term limits. They're limited in their time in government.
So really, your thought is let's have a part-time legislature, but essentially let them be in office as long as they want?
In my mind, as long as they're there on a limited basis, only getting the work done, and they're actually in the private sector earning the bulk of their employment, the answer is absolutely a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you keep more experience in Lansing at that point, and it allows things to be done quicker. I think a term limit at that point can then become a deficit, and it can be revisited at that time.
Hmm. What's the likelihood of this actually happening in your view?
As far as the term limits or the part-time legislature?
In terms of the part-time legislature, and this would be a paradigm shift, right? How likely do you think this will actually occur?
Well, they're planning on collecting the signatures between June and August of this year, and they have about 460,000 signatures that they're going to need to actually collect.
Mm-hmm.
But they have got an army, and I've got word that there's a potential for a paid signature run on this, augmenting their efforts. So from that standpoint, there's a good possibility we may see this happen. But this is a opportunity for us to vote.
Although, I should note, Norm, that really, I mean, these are special interests that have the money to back these efforts. Who's really backing this effort to reduce the size of government here?
At this point, I don't see any special interests. I see volunteers.
Yeah. Well, I do
know that there's money coming in from somewhere to actually push it up for paid signatures. It could be private citizens, for all I know.
It's always a tough track, though. It's a lot of signatures to put together. We'll have you on again, though. Norm Cameron, chairman of the Committee to Restore Michigan's Part-Time Legislature. Man, it's been pushing for this for many, many years. Norm, great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Great to be here.